some ways it's easy to believe, in other ways it's kind of difficult, but we've been through 4.5 months of the legislative session.
It does, and this, of course, is the longest that any session can be because of the way the calendar happened to fall in 2018, and it's been, I think, a pretty good session. I guess it helps if you come in with low expectations, but it is one of those years when there was a lot of uncertainty coming in, a lot of questions about how productive we might be able to be, but it has turned out to be what I consider, kind of looking back, a good session. I think we've been able to accomplish a number of things. One of the things that I was really happy with was we did actually get some education reform this year in the virtual school area. We were able to accomplish more there than I think some people thought we would be able to do. I'm really encouraged with that. I think especially in our rural districts, it's going to really play a part in improving education and certainly increasing opportunities for students. Another area that I was a little disappointed in was we had worked pretty hard for all year on a reading intervention bill in Missouri. I think the DESE website says that about 60% of our kids are reading at grade level when they enter the fourth grade, which isn't something that's encouraging when you think of 40% of our kids are not reading at grade level when they enter the fourth grade. Representative Kelly in the House had filed a bill the last 2 years to intervene in those children's reading instruction and really get intensive with reading. Some of that is dyslexia that we are finding to be more and more common and the special needs there in terms of teaching reading. Some of it is just kids learn different ways. And so Senate Bill 949 filed this year. We worked on the Senate bill. The House bill got hung up in committee. It was in a committee that was not necessarily friendly to it, and it was not able to, I think, even have a hearing. But we moved 949 through the process onto the Senate floor, and then we had a little glitch, caused it to be held up for a while, and then near the end of the session we were able to break that free with some of my colleagues, and then we moved it very quickly out of the Senate and into the House. And what happened, though, was between the Senate, which voted the bill out 32-0, and the House, suddenly it engaged a flurry of activity from mostly school superintendents across the state who flew into action and opposed everything we were trying to do and sent superintendents to the House hearing and began calling all the House members. And it was a little bit disappointing. I know one of the superintendents who was probably one of the most active opponents from Springfield, and he's been in Springfield about, I think, 4 years. 3 of those years, the average APR scores have dropped. He was just reengaged with over $120,000 of bonuses promised, as well as about a $220,000 salary. 2 or 3 of the schools in that Springfield district are failing, according to their APR scores, and yet here's that superintendent in a House hearing telling what a terrible idea it is for us to intervene and make sure these kids are able to read. So some of that's a little disappointing. Some of it has to do with maybe the way the bill was rolled out this year, so we have some plans for doing things a little differently next year. We think we can maybe work past some of the things this year and still pursue that reading intervention. Mississippi had done this a few years ago, something similar to what we were working on. Their kids were reading at like a 48% level going into fourth grade in terms of reading proficiency. In 3 years, they went to 92% reading proficiency. That's a pretty significant number. It's hard to argue with that. If you're at 60, a state like Mississippi went from 48 to 92, then maybe we should relook at what we're doing.
I know another measure for you. We've talked a lot about this the last several years, and that in this case is Senate Bill 564, which is the grid modernization bill.
Yes, yeah, I was really pleased to see that the House took that up this week and passed it, and so it's been truly agreed and finally passed, and it will become law either upon the governor's signature or upon the governor's failure to veto. I think that is going to be a very positive thing for folks across the state that are served by either Empire or KCP&L or Ameren. It doesn't affect rural co-ops, so they're not impacted by what's the language, but the others, particularly in the Ameren and KCP&L districts, will see an almost immediate reduction in prices. I should correct that. In Ameren's, KCP&L is actually in what we call a rate case, and so theirs will be addressed in the rate case, and they'll see a reduction as well. But one of the things that we insisted on going into the negotiations was that the impact of the tax cut that began this year, would be fully given to consumers. They would get the full benefit of that tax cut. And so Ameren's will see an almost immediate 4 to 5% drop in their rate everything that's happened prior to when they file will be accumulated and returned at the next rate case, so it'll be returned as well. So every dime of the impact of that Trump tax cut will go to ratepayers, and they'll see that. The other thing that is very uncommon is we put caps on rates. Those caps are the most severe caps of anyone in the country. I think that consumers are going to see a real impact here. I've talked to the companies that are involved. Their commitment is absolute to make sure that they prove that this was a great thing for their customers. They hope to benefit them as well by the infrastructure upgrading, the modernization of the infrastructure, which will have long-term effects in reducing operating expenses, and therefore that will have another impact on rates. I was pleased to see that we finally were able to do that, and that the impact of that hopefully will come very, very quickly.
We saw also this year some movement on tax reform. There was one House bill that a lot different in the final version from the way it started, but still managed to make its way to the governor's desk.
That's right, and that should also have some significant impacts, not just on individuals or companies that are paying taxes, but upon the whole state of Missouri as we become even more attractive to business expansions or even new businesses. I was pleased to see us able to pursue that. There was quite a bit of debate on the floor. There are still some folks who are very skeptical, if not cynical, about whether or not this is going to work out the way we hope it will. There were some mistakes that were made in some of the fiscal notes early on and created some uncertainty, but we've been able to now to pass those reductions, and those will have I think a genuine positive impact on the economy in Missouri.
Looking ahead, obviously what's to come is the veto session in September. As you look to next year, is there momentum to be gained from what happened, whether the legislation passed or not, but is there momentum to be gained in terms of what could be on the horizon next year?
I think one of the things that we would like to have done more on this year, we were able to do some, is tort reform. And I think that as we begin to see what an impact Missouri's tort situation has on businesses, I'm told when I talk to people who work across the country, the first thing that keeps businesses out of Missouri is not even necessarily the labor reforms, of which we've been able to do some this year, but it's the tort situation. It's the uncertainty of knowing what would happen in courts. That, I think, we'll be able to work on more next year. I think we're even going to see some more progress in addressing some of the needs that we have in education. This year, funding for education went up by almost $100 million. That's a lot of money, but that's something we can work on. I know some of my colleagues in the Senate are still working on even more comprehensive tax reforms that they would like to come back and try to work through again. So I do think, I'm hearing also even from my colleagues, that they have high expectations for next year and believe that next year can be a very productive year in the Missouri legislature on behalf of the people that we serve.